For decades, late October meant one holiday and one holiday only in American popular culture, Halloween. But over the past couple of decades, more and more people are also marking another fall festival, Día de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. The Mexican festival is a combination of Catholic and indigenous traditions and is meant to commemorate loved ones who have passed on. But in the United States, the holiday has turned into something else. I'm Gustavo Ariano. You're listening to The Times, daily news from the LA Times. It's Friday, October 29th, 2021. Today, we get into Día de los Muertos in the United States, its history, its celebration, how it's different here from the way they observe it in Mexico, the holiday's birthplace. We talked to LA Times culture reporter Daniel Hernandez, who has written extensively about the subject. And we also talked to a Mexicana who grew up in Kentucky and has seen Día de los Muertos spread across the South, where the Mexican population is small, but growing. The 2017 Pixar film Coco brought Día de los Muertos to the world. The bright colors, the solemn remembrances of the faithful departed with altars in their memory. The skeletons and sugar skulls and cempasúchil, the bright orange flowers known in English as marigolds. And isn't the Spanish word for it so much better? Because it's actually Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs, but that's a whole other episode. Anyways, Día de los Muertos. It was already big in the United States before Coco, not just in the American Southwest, but beyond. Daniel Hernandez has written about the phenomenon for the Los Angeles Times and other publications. Daniel, welcome to the Times.
Thanks, Gustavo. Hey.
We got to start as basic as possible. So what's Día de los Muertos and what is it not?
Día de los Muertos, probably first to say, it is not Mexican Halloween, although it falls very close to that day, October 31st. It is observed or celebrated November 1st and 2nd. That actually coincides with All Souls Day. And the tradition, particularly in Mexico, is a very rich folk tradition that involves the making of an altar, or an ofrenda to be precise, an offering to your ancestors, people who have left your life. Many people say that it goes back to pre-Hispanic roots, and people make relations to the deities for death and the concept of the underworld in pre-Hispanic religion. But it's basically a kind of like Mexican transmutation on All Souls Day. It is also celebrated or observed, obviously, in other parts of Latin America. But it's really, really well tied to Mexican folk popular culture. And it is both an intimate and a public thing. So in intimate terms, it involves people making an ofrenda to their ancestors, people who have passed on that they love, and make that inside their homes or somewhere maybe a little more public. And that involves placing foods that they liked, flowers, candles, points of memory. And the idea is that the spirit of the person who has been gone even comes back and visits the offering. And so you're kind of get close to that person or those people in those moments. That's Día de los Muertos in a nutshell. It is a way to honor people you love who have passed on. But it has taken on a huge commercial pop kind of like fourth, fifth life in the 21st century. And it's really a really big deal here in Southern California.
Did you celebrate it growing up in Southern California? Because my family didn't.
Right. I think a lot of people probably did not, if we were to be really honest with ourselves, if we took it up as adults. I took it up really as an adult. And after I had lived in Mexico and moved there and saw how many people, despite, you know, having American or European educations, or people who maybe didn't grow up very religious at all, suddenly felt that they had to start doing this, because I, for one, saw it all around me in Mexico, but I also saw the commercialization of it. And it doesn't start, you know, at the top of Disney and Coco. At the mercadito, at the little market in every neighborhood in the last few weeks of October, every vendor is selling cempasúchil or paper flowers, purple gold flowers, mostly gold, of course, skull candy, and all of the trappings, papel picado, of course, that are found on a traditional ofrenda altar. In a spiritual way, I think that it, even for those of us who do it now or observe it now, there is, I think, a connection there that is made with our past, with our family, with our ancestry, and also with our heritage. Many Mexican Americans were referred to as pochos, somewhat despectively in Mexico and among as less culturated, as more gringoized, as more Americanized. This for many of us is an anchor. And even for many of us who've never, maybe have not traveled as adults into Mexico, maybe because of their immigration status, aren't allowed to go back to Mexico or cannot, this is a way for many of us to connect that doesn't involve, you know, nationalism or anything like that.
You and I grew up in Southern California in the 90s, early 2000s. But by then, even though we didn't experience it, and frankly, no one that I knew, Día de los Muertos already had a rich history in the United States. What was that history?
Well, it probably has always been secretly or privately observed here, anywhere that Mexican immigrants have gathered, probably going back to the 19th century, maybe even the late 18th century. Mexicans in Detroit, Mexicans in Chicago, all over the South, particularly the Southwest, Texas, of course, and here in California. And even in the 90s, I would say, Gustavo, that on academic settings, on college campuses, maybe public libraries, there had already been this kind of rise of Day of the Dead iconography that was, in a certain way, competing for people's attention with kind of Halloween, you know, ghouls and goblins and witches and carved pumpkins and so on. Now, I feel like there is both. You go to a Northgate market, or if you go to a Target or a Walmart or anything like that, you see those, that kind of imagery and those kinds of products side to side. And I will tell you that it is also the same thing in Mexican supermarkets, in Mexican malls, and in Mexican department stores down in Mexico. Halloween is conversely invading down towards Mexico, or at least like bleeding down there. But I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry, but yeah, I would say that it's probably always been observed here in some way or form. I recently spoke with Ophelia Esparza. She's an NEA grad fellow and native of East Los Angeles. She's lived in East Los Angeles her entire life. You know, she lives a few blocks down from Calvary Cemetery, a cemetery that she grew up going to as a young girl, growing up being raised Catholic in East LA. She says that her mother would always make an altar all the way back into the 30s, 40s.
I didn't really know about Día de Muertos, but I knew when I was a child, but I knew that it was a time to celebrate because my mother would dress up. She always had a little altar in her home, like I think many families did, with photographs. But for those special days or occasions, she would dress them up with flowers from her garden. She always had flowers. She had cempoalzuchis. She called them cempoales. I guess a shortened name for cempoalzuchis.
And that it's likely that her grandmother and even great-grandmother in Michoacán, Mexico, where she's partly from, did as well. So we're talking back, and there are families probably that this is a very big deal for them. I myself spent a lot of time in Oaxaca over the many years that I lived in Mexico, and I would see sometimes in homes, I'm talking middle class to very wealthy homes, steps in a living room or foyer or hallway, literally built in ofrenda setting, an altar setting, that families only use end of October, early November for Day of the Dead. And I think that for me was a clear example of how serious it is.
We'll have more after this break. Daniel, there's one place in particular that academics look at as the birthplace of Día de los Muertos in the United States in terms of the public celebration, a place called Self-Help Graphics in East LA. What's the history of them with Día de los Muertos?
Self-Help Graphics is one of those places that is both icon and kind of a working, living, breathing thing. It is a arts education institution and gallery that came about in East LA in the tumult and really the cultural renaissance of the Chicano movement. After the Chicano moratorium, it was founded by a woman named Sister Karen Bocalero, a very feisty and well-regarded nun, very true to that word, who felt and who noticed that people were honoring their past loved ones this way and decided to start like a workshop festival inside Self-Help Graphics. Self-Help now is in barely in East LA, just over the river, in the flats, they call it, section of Boyle Heights. It used to be in East LA proper, which is unincorporated East LA County. And it was just a locus point for so many people, for so many generations of artists, for so many people like you and me who may have walked in one day to their first Dia de los Muertos festival at Self-Help and felt that they were home and felt that they were in a space that they could express their Mexicanness or their indigeneity or their Latinoness in a welcoming environment. And it just blew up. Ofelia Esparza, this master altar maker, folk artist, she says that one day, you know, Sister Karen asked her if she knew anything about the Day of the Dead. And she said, well, yeah, my mom would always make an altar, make an ofrenda. And Sister Karen literally told her on the spot, done, be here Saturday, you're going to lead a workshop. That's pretty amazing. And ever since then, the Esparzas, including her daughter, Rosana Esparza, have been participating and holding workshops there, flower-making workshops and ofrenda-making workshops. And so I think East LA is very important in the formation of this idea that this is a public event. They would always do a parade from the old building over there on Gage and down to the cemetery and back. And so that's when kind of these lavish costumes and things and being seen walking around the street dressed like a full-blown skeleton became kind of like a Day of the Dead thing in LA. And well, now we know that in every community where there are immigrants from this diaspora, I'm talking anywhere from Kansas to Iowa to Michigan to Washington to Maine, anywhere, there is going to be a public Day of the Dead display in some shape or form. And that is really, really heartening. This goes back to your long-term theme and idea of Reconquista, Gustavo, that there is a cultural wave from the South that we really can't kind of deny or ignore anymore. And a lot of Americans who are not Mexican at all have sort of taken to the wave and just have adopted this tradition as well.
So why do you think so many non-Mexicans have so eagerly embraced Dia de los Muertos? And it's not just the iconography anymore. You're seeing, like, if you go to, ¿cómo se dice?, these big celebrations, like down in Orange County where I live, you'll see non-Latinos setting up altars at these big public celebrations, commemorating LGBTQ pioneers, commemorating non-Mexican loved ones or political causes. It seems like many Americans have said to themselves, this is something we want to be a part of.
Yeah, it's amazing. Same thing in San Diego, Old Town San Diego, which is the old historic site, one of the first non-Mexican, non-Indigenous settlements in California. There's a huge celebration there now. My mom goes every year. It's crowded. It feels like you're at the county fair. And of course, here in LA, they've been doing the Grand Park Community Altar, which actually the Esparzas are setting up. And there is the big party, the biggest of them all, at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. That in particular private cemetery was really important in helping normalize and mainstream Day of the Dead in LA. I think it is a very simple and attractive idea. Honoring your past loved ones, keeping their memory alive, and connecting across time and to the great memories that you had with someone that you once loved. Ofelia Esparza says something very poetic, and she says that it's something that her mother taught her. And other Mexicanas also often say is that you have three deaths: the moment that your heart stops beating, that you take your last breath, the moment that you are placed into the ground, never to be seen again. And the worst death of all, the most feared death, is the moment that everyone forgets you. And there are billions of people who live on the earth who have all suffered their third death. And with Day of the Dead, there is a way to prevent someone you love from suffering that third death. Ofelia Esparza still places memories and mementos of her own great-grandmother, and so on their ofrenda every year. And so this is a way to just keep people close. And it makes total sense. If I were not Mexican, I think I would be all over it at this point in my life, especially after the pandemic and all the losses that we've suffered as a greater society.
What's interesting to me, though, is that it stands in opposition to the traditional American way of dealing with death. Namely, once you're in the ground, okay, you visit the cemetery once a year, but you don't really think of, like, they're here talking to you, they're here with you, you don't have that presence.
Yeah, it is pretty, you know, the Puritan American sort of echo of the way we do things here in the United States is very strong. I think our listeners should remember that people in Mexico greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. People in Mexico will start making fun of you and sort of ribbing you 5 minutes after meeting you. People in Mexico will say, your house is my house, literally seconds after meeting you for the first time as a perfect stranger, and they will mean it. These are customs that are very foreign to the way that U.S. is. In the U.S., we are guarded. Don't talk to strangers. Stay away from me. You're in my personal space. Pre-pandemic, that was a thing. Like, it is very different. I think it is a direct confrontation to the Puritan American ethos. American mourning is dress in black, be very somber, go to the funeral, go to the burial, maybe have, you know, some tea and cake at the gathering afterwards, and that's it. So you're right. It is in contrast to that. And I think that that is also probably a good thing.
Finally, Daniel, Ofelia and these other OGs of Dia de los Muertos celebrations in the United States, how do they feel about its mainstreaming?
And she told me that, you know, it is fundamentally fine, that there is a way to maintain the importance and the intimacy and the true meaning of it if all of us keep that in our minds and hearts, basically. They were invited to be cultural consultants on the film Coco early in its production stages. And they tell me that they were able to really say, that doesn't sound kind of very true to life, or that really is not very authentic. They are kind of aware of the mainstreaming, and I think that they do their part in keeping some of these corporate brands and media companies and so on a little more in line and in check. I think they do fear that there could be a over-marketing or an over-mainstreaming of it. There are warning signs. There is a lot of money thrown into this thing now. Mattel now does Day of the Dead doll. It sells out instantly. Halloween costumes, many people merge the two things right there. Everyone dresses like the Calavera, that great Jose Guadalupe Posada print imagery. That's really big as well. So I think it's a challenge, but I think it's a challenge that the OGs and the real, the people who are very connected to the tradition and the maintenance of it, they say, just keep it in mind. Do the intimate Day of the Dead in your home, in your space, in your thoughts. Take that food out, invite the spirits in, and go ahead and enjoy the kind of public commercial celebration.
Daniel, thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you.
Next up, how they celebrate Dia de los Muertos in Lexington, Kentucky. Alexis Mesa de los Santos is a Latinx Hispanic diversity recruiter in the Office of Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Kentucky. She was born in Veracruz, Mexico, but has lived in the Bluegrass State since she was 9. So Alexis has seen Dia de los Muertos celebrations rise in an area where Mexicans are still a small minority. Alexis, welcome to The Times.
Hola, hola. Muchas gracias por la invitación. Thanks for the invitation.
Gracias. No, appreciate it. What do you remember about the first Dia de los Muertos celebration that you saw in Kentucky?
Like full on, like, you know, display ofrendas everywhere was when I moved to Lexington in 2010. Obviously, you know, ofrendas were always in my house, you know, where my mom and stuff would set up an ofrenda for my abuelitos and everything. But as a community gathering, I think it was the Living Arts and Science Center here in Lexington. They put on a big Dia de los Muertos festival, and they do the tumbas and stuff, like the graveyards at the cemetery. They're decorated and everything, and they actually do a community calling so that community people or organizations can come and do like an ofrenda and decorate the graveyards and stuff.
Did it surprise you that it was so big, even 2010 in Kentucky?
It did a little bit. And it surprised me, like, how many people actually would comes out to this. And it's like people from all different backgrounds. Like, it's not just, you know, the Mexicanos coming out or the Latinos and stuff like that. It's actually a lot of community members from the Lexington area and, you know, surrounding areas come out and, you know, enjoy the festivities. They have activities for kids. They have like food trucks. They have obviously different information about the history of Dia de los Muertos, as well as like interactive like art installments and stuff like that too.
How did non-Latinos react to it?
I think that they react to it in a way that maybe they're curious, they're confused a little bit, they're not sure what it is. But, you know, once they're there, they really just dive in into like, just like, okay, yeah, this is a whole family thing. And, you know, my kids can do something, I can learn something about it. And it's a beautiful, colorful experience. They really enjoy doing that too.
Yeah, it seems like they appreciate the vibe. They don't exoticize it. They're like, we also get that this is commemorating the people who have passed away. So we got to be a bit serious at this as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that the center does a good job in like not just doing like the fun stuff about it, but like also just being intentional about teaching the community like what it really is. And they work together with like Casa de la Cultura, our Latinx community organization and stuff. So it's not just a bunch of white people putting this together, basically.
It's one thing to celebrate Dia de los Muertos, like, say, in the American Southwest or Chicago with these historic Mexican-American communities. But as someone who has grown up in the South, in Kentucky, where Latinos are still a minority, although they're growing, how is it celebrated differently? Or how, ¿cómo se dice en inglés? Like, how do Latinos feel it different, celebrating Dia de los Muertos in a place like Lexington, Kentucky?
I'm obviously not the spokesperson for the Latino community, but I feel that, you know, as a member of the Latino community and, you know, growing up here in Kentucky, I think that we are always craving that little piece of home, right? I think that we always try to, like, come together and celebrate. And Dia de los Muertos is one of those that, you know, we definitely connect, not just, like, as Mexicanos, but also as just Lexingtonians.
And not only that, I must imagine that this is like the Dia de la Independencia, Mexican Independence Day, and Dia de los Muertos. It's an opportunity for Latinx folks, or specifically Mexicanos, to tell their neighbors, we're here, we're seen, we are, you know, this is who we are. This is maybe the rest of the time you might not really interact with us, but this is an opportunity for all of you folks to know more about us.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's always a community gathering. I mean, you will find those that are like, don't want to have to do anything with it, or they think that it's kind of like satanic a little bit, like, kiss, or like, you know, with the sugar skulls, they don't really know what they're referencing. It's like, yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know what y'all doing over there. But I think it's definitely an opportunity for us to build community and just to invite people to the table and you know, share dinner and share space with them.
Alexis, how did your family get to Kentucky? Or how did they end up in Kentucky?
So my family migrated from Veracruz, Mexico in the late 90s. And we had first arrived in Dallas, Texas. But after 2001, you know, my dad lost his job and everything. And we were just looking for another opportunity in the States instead of, you know, just going back to Mexico. And my dad reached out to one of his cousins who lived in Lancaster, Kentucky. And, you know, he was like, hey, come out and see what's out here for you. But all that we could in our little, in my dad's little like Isuzu truck, and we like drove, you know, 15 plus hours here to Lancaster, Kentucky. And that's where I went to, you know, middle school, high school, and pretty much grew up there up until I graduated high school in 2009 and eventually came to Lexington for college. And so I've stayed here in Lexington for the past 10 years, 11 years or so. And, you know, I've loved it here. This is my home for sure.
And then finally, on your end, who is yourself and your family going to be remembering this year in your altar?
Definitely. I mean, pues, mis abuelitos, you know, my grandparents are going to have their thing, you know, other, you know, people that have passed and everything. I usually only keep it to like close family members. And I, you know, in my own home, I only put up altar for my grandparents and any other loved ones that have passed. But yeah, I think that's kind of where we're going to keep it at. So I got to go and set up, you know, my altar and everything, get the cempasúchil and the papel picado and everything.
Cempasúchil are marigold flowers and papel picado is decorative, colorful paper.
I always have to, you know, bring out the stuff that they like. So like La Coca, La Chela for my grandpa.
Coca-Cola and beer, winning combination for grandpas.
El pan de muerto, you know, all the things. So, and try to, you know, try to not have my cats near the food because, you know, that'll be a whole situation. But yeah, it'll be a good one. I always look forward to, you know, making that connection with my grandparents. As like, you know, Dia de los Muertos is such a special thing for us that it always, you know, makes me emotional to think about it because it's like, it really is that feeling of I get to, you know, spend this time with you again.
Alexis, thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you so much, Gustavo.
And that's it for this episode of The Times, daily news from the LA Times. Next week, more random randomness, Mexican wine country, climate change, and so much more. Our show is produced by Shannon Lin, Denise Guerra, Melissa Kaplan, and Ashley Brown. Our engineer is Mario Diaz. Our editors are Shawnee Hilton and Lauren Rabb, and our theme music is by Andrew Epin. Special thanks to Mike Heflin, Shelby Grad, Julia Turner, and Hector Becerra. Like what you're listening to? Then make sure to follow The Times on whatever platform you use. Don't make us the Puchia Podcasts. I'm Gustavo Arellano. We'll be back next week with all the news in this month. Gracias.